Some of you may be looking and wondering, what in the world has got into that brother and some of those walking around right now? And I'm just going to be real plain with you. If you'd step out and try it sometime, you wouldn't feel like it was strange to see. If you stepped out and praised him sometimes, you wouldn't feel like it was uncomfortable for you to do. If you'd simply just give God his glory, his credit where he deserves in your life, you'd see a lot of things begin to improve and work for your good. Lord, somebody say that with me tonight. Lord, I choose to believe. Father, I choose to believe. Oh my God. We can choose to do many things, but tonight I'm here choosing to believe. Tonight we could give up, but I'm choosing to go on. Tonight we could choose to sit back, but I'm choosing to get up. Oh, glory to God, Brother Matt. The day's going to come where all the times that we had opportunity to bask in the glory of God will no longer be here. What would you do if there were missiles going over your head? What would you do if there were airstrikes hitting your hometown hospitals? What would you do if you were in the midst of darkness with no place to go? Would you then get down and call out to the Lord? You see, God gives us the vision by faith, and he wants you to have the vision before you ever step into the trouble. Because let me tell you, there's darkness on every side and trouble at every hand. But if you trust in God, he'll take what was meant for your detriment and work it for your good. Where Joseph would have perished in prison, he'd become an heir to a great inheritance. Where Job was to curse God and die, he received double what he ever had in the beginning. When Daniel was challenged on his faith, he stepped out and interpreted anyway. When the Hebrew boys were pushed to bow to the music, they chose not to. When they were sent to the fire and to be afraid, they were not, and they chose to serve God. Let me tell you what God's been doing in my life. He is starting a revolution. Somebody say a revolution. That means a conversion that you cannot return back to your previous state or form. Brother, we've already been changed. We have salvation. I know we do, but I'm talking about a revolution. I'm talking about a change in personality. I'm talking about a change of habit. I'm talking about a change in character, where we come in with our hearts continually set on serving God and moving for his will. I don't know if you came in here for the lost, the broken, and those that need deliverance, but that's what I'm here for tonight. I don't know if you came just to hear somebody preach or to hear somebody sing, but there are people around you that need you. Look around at somebody and say, I guess they need me in here. Yeah, they do. I need you. We need each other. If we don't have one another, who do we have? And if God is in us and we fellowship together, that's the same as calling out to the Father. For when we'll fellowship with one another in unity, the Holy Spirit has its free will. Does anybody need to obey the Lord before we move in? Donnie, you have anything you want to share, brother? We're glad you're here tonight. If you change your mind, this mic's ready for you. You'll just have to, as they say, excuse me for the fit that the Holy Ghost moved in me with. Quite honestly, I look forward to that. I look forward to being in his presence. I look forward to being at peace. I look forward to discarding my flesh. I don't know about you. How many of you would be willing to wear a dead carcass around? Well, I don't know if you knew this guy or not, but he's dead. But if you want to wear his carcass, you're more than welcome to. Now, we'll cut up a bear and put it on our floor because the skin looks good. We'll cut up some fur and wrap it around us because we think that looks good. But when you try to wear flesh, it stinks. And when we try to come into church and wear flesh, guess what? We stink too. God even said it, that we would be a stench in his nostril. He basically said, if we served him of ourselves, that we'd be a stench. I want you to turn into the book of 1 John. In the second chapter, I believe, And at the sixth verse. Now I'll try not to keep you long. I know it's rainy and ugly outside and everybody's worried if their power got hit. Or I did have my house struck once by lightning. I was home when it happened. Scared me to death. So storms can be scary, and especially when it destroys about 5 grand worth of your appliances. That's also not good. So storms can sometimes be troublesome, but let's try not to worry about that for a little while, and let's let the Holy Spirit have his way in here right now. Let's read this verse. It's a small verse, but has much in it. And it's my prayer that we'll begin to try to extract some of this that God put in my heart. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Let's read that one more time tonight. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. I'm going to break this down into 3 sections and try to show you what God showed me. I read the phrase, he that saith he abideth in him. And when you read this phrase, I want you to think about the word profession. Profession has a few meanings. One can be the state of your trade, what you do for a living. But the meaning that we're going to use tonight is the meaning of what you would speak, what you say that you believe, what you profess to be true. And I begin to think about all the times where our witness should be the loudest thing out of our mouth, but it seems to be the quietest thing that we're speaking, where our profession has turned into our obsession, the things that we long for, the things that we want in life. And so those are the things that we talk about, that we fight for, that we fight about, that we struggle to get, and quite frankly are unhappy by the time we get it. Well, brother, I want a new car. Well, have you added up your income to see if you can pay for it? No, but I still want it. I believe I can have it. I believe it's mine by faith. I'm going to get it. All right, go ahead and get it. Then we're 2 years into the payments. We can't keep the lights on because we didn't count the cost before we ever stepped out to do it, right? And then there's some times in my life that I've wanted plenty of things, and instead of professing to the Lord to let him bless me to have it, I was obsessing for what I wanted and going my own way. Listen, the beginning of your Christianity, the part that is what I like to call the milk of the word, is your profession. What you're telling people when you talk to them, what your conversation says about you when you speak to people, what your demeanor speaks about you when you take actions, or when you should do something and do not, or when you should not do something and you do it. It speaks about what you profess in your life. If you say you are a Christian of Jesus Christ, then the way that you profess it every day is how you're living your life in righteousness. When you're striving to do what's right, you're professing to everyone around you, I have the standard, I'm living in the Word of God because I believe it is what it says it is. But before we even get into the next part of this, can I preach just for a minute on profession? I'm so weary of hearing people say that they believe God can do it all, but yet they don't show 1 ounce of effort in obedience. All right? And I'm not talking about getting up in front of everybody and saying, well, praise him. Praise him. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about what would keep your knees raw at night. I'm talking about what would keep you hoarse as you begin to call out to God in prayer. I'm talking about what causes the words to bleed together on the page because you're reading the scripture so much that it's starting to cross your eyes. I'm talking about a change in our lifestyle that when we begin to communicate that to God, he finds that to be pleasing. Brother, show me this in the scripture. When Stephen was stoned, by not moving and allowing them to harm him, he was professing their forgiveness as well as speaking their forgiveness. When I say I'm a Christian and I'm a believer and backer and supporter of my church, but I come in, do nothing, and show no support to anyone, then I'm only words and not true profession. You see, true profession is backed up by your actions, because it said that he that know to walk should what? Also walk. So it's just more than knowing. It's just more than feeling. It's beginning to start doing that causes profession to begin to transform in what I like to call progression, or the beginning or movement towards an object. When my wife, or at the time my fiance, prayed for me when I was bound by drugs, it had to be more than just profession. She fasted for me, she prayed for me, she had other people pray for me, and it turned into being from just profession alone to what I call progression. You begin to stop standing in the middle of fear, and you begin to start walking away from what keeps you afraid. You begin to stop just being in the milk of the word and start stepping into the meat of the word. But before I get too far, I want to remind you that in the stage of profession, that Satan wants to come and destroy everything about your witness. Can I just talk about the different kinds of attacks? When you're in the beginning stages of becoming a Christian, you're being delivered out of your sin. And with that sin comes obsession. The things that you long to have that you couldn't do without. That when God transformed you, he took those things out of your life by setting you free through forgiveness. But as we are beginning to step out by faith, we still struggle and battle obsession every day. When I used to be on drugs, when I was delivered from drugs, I had to find some other way to get my comfort, because the comfort I used to lean on was something that I didn't need. I don't know who I'm going to talk to here for just a minute, but if you are just stepping out and becoming a Christian, you might be a Christian for 5 years, but starting to step out to actually be one, you're going to stop leaning on the comforts of what you used to lean on, and you're going to start leaning on the comforts of the Holy Spirit. Now, brother, I don't believe in all that tongue talking. I don't believe in all that shouting, praise, and radicalism. I don't need to make a peep before God for him to know that he loves me and that he's everything in my life. But let me tell you, it makes a whole lot of difference when you begin to do something that'll cause your flesh to be under subjection. It's one thing to sit back and say, I know that God's able, but it's another to put your flesh down as a sacrifice to the Lord, to let him see that you're sincere. Satan wants to get you in the stage of obsession, because he wants you to lean back on your previous comforts, because it's what you're the closest to. One of the hardest things about retaining Christians or keeping people strong in God is having to try and encourage them when they're low. When they're first starting out in their Christian walk, they may not be trained in the Word of God to know what to do. They may not be experienced enough to know to hold on. Some of us veterans in the house of God know when it's time to put our hand to the plow and not look back. But listen, there are a lot of people that are still looking at their previous comforts. They're not far enough away yet in order to be strong on their own. That's why the scripture said those that were strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You see, there are people that are saved, and how many of you have seen it happen? Maybe you're one of them that it's happened to. You got good with God, and a couple weeks later, you were back in the same shape that you were in. You didn't know if you were lost or saved. You didn't know if you were filled with the Holy Ghost or not. You were so confused about everything, you just decided just to forget it and go back to your own way. There's people in here tonight that I have prayed for that have been strong, but guess what? There's people out there tonight that have had God move for them, that need somebody to help retain them, to nourish them, to bear their infirmities, but we're too busy obsessing over our own business. I'm about to start preaching in here. You might think that God doesn't see when we obsess about things more that are important to us than his will in our lives, but everything that I've ever tried to put my hand to without God, he doesn't let me keep it too long. Let me tell you why. Because he's a jealous God. He's not going to have any other idols before him. He's not going to let me obsess over anything else more than him. And if I do, he said those that were exalted would be abased, and those that were abased praise would be exalted. I don't want to get to the point where all I care about is all the things around me, material things or people things, popularity things. I've got to step out more in my life to be not just profession, but progression. And we as Christians are not sending the right message to the world. You see, God is not a gimme God. He's wanting us to bless others, and out of blessing others, He gives unto us. He said, when you sought the first, the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, that He would pour it out unto you all the things that you would need. This isn't popular teaching because everybody wants me to stand up here and say, if you'll just come to church, you're going to be blessed. If you'll just come in and just clap your hands, you're going to get everything you need. Everybody wants me just to back off, come up and say, God loves you. Thank God for your salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved? And just back up, back up, back up. But let me tell you, we have spent too much time watering down the Word of God. I have spent too much time in my ministry watering down what we should be addressing every day. If we were addressing it properly every day, there wouldn't be affairs in the church. There wouldn't be pornography striving up in the church. There wouldn't be strife and division and bitterness and attitudes inside of the church. I'm telling you, I'm tired of sugarcoating. I like the bitter candy too. I didn't like licorice when I was a young lad, but as I've grew older, my taste buds have changed, and as I've matured, I've grown to like the bitter things. I love to drink coffee. How many of you like coffee? I love the bitterness of coffee. And he said, if you just put a little bit of salt in coffee, it's not bitter anymore, right? So the Bible said that we are the salt of the earth, right?
Amen.
So we can be the salt of the earth and make bitter things for others to be easier. So as we are in profession, God wants us to begin to step into progression. And I want you to think about, in your personal life, where am I showing progress? Where am I showing progress? What am I doing more now than I did before? And that's what I've been, I don't want to say getting on about, but talking about here recently. When I come into the sanctuary, it's fun to have service for one evening, but think about the bigger picture. What are we doing more today than we did before? And I look at some of our services and seen people saved and delivered. And guess what? In those moments, we showed progress. I have progressed in my life. I'm not going to say have mastered, but I'm mastering patience. I'm mastering temperance. I'm mastering meekness. I don't have it perfected, but I'm on my way to getting better. You see, God didn't raise us to be ignorant. He didn't raise us out of all of sin for us to go right back to sin. He didn't clean you up just for you to go back to the hog pen. He didn't save you out of sin for you to live in sin. He didn't call us to be a church on fire and to live on the wet wood. He didn't call us to be dead. He didn't call us to be complacent. He called us to be what He set us free to be. Have you noticed that when people are young in God, they have a very strong zeal? They're zealous. You see, they've not been pulled over with the veil of religion. They're fresh out of the blood of the Lamb. They can still feel it all over them in their life. But then they step into this covering of a program, covering of tradition. Well, this is just how we've always done it. If I thought that we could make an impact in our community by stopping all singing and all preaching and praying all the time, you better believe that we've changed the lineup if that would make the difference. If I know of something that God shows me to change and I don't change it, there's a lack of progress. I have heard countless times before that I need to pray more. I've heard countless times before that I need to come in and be on fire for Him. I've heard countless times before, oh, I should have just got in and praised Him when everybody else was. It felt so good in my heart, but I was just afraid to do it. I was talking to a brother this morning, and I don't know why I got on this, but I said, one day I'm just going to walk in 13th Street and preach the message of Jonah. Verbatim. I'm just going to walk in and tell it just like he told it a long time ago. And I bet there would be people look at me like they looked at him. And I thought to myself, Lord, I'm going to get myself in that baptistry, and I'm going to start preaching the sermons of John. Maybe that would get people's hearts drawn into the Lord. But you know what? If I got in the baptistry tonight, you know all I'd be? A fool. I'd be wet, and I'd be a fool. But think about moments in your life where you can show progress. There were four, I counted them this week, four opportunities that I had to witness for the Lord where I normally would not have injected it in my workplace, but I did. It is considered politically incorrect to talk about God in the workplace, especially in real ethical environments, even though they're just as dirty as everybody else. And I'm beginning to interject witnessing for what God has done for me. I'm being less ashamed about all the goodness that God has done in my life. You see, I don't care who you are. We all put our britches on the same way. And I don't care where you've come from. We all serve the same God. We feel the same pain. We all have the same struggle of obeying Him, the same struggle of getting to that place where our desire is much for God. As we move into progression, our zeal begins to be diminished. Why? Because you begin to start working at something. When I was first growing up in God, just coming off the passy, if you will, before I even got to the milk, I was just playing music. And then I began to sing. One of the first songs I ever led was at 13th Street. I sang harmony most of my life with my family. And I finally sang one song. All I had was one song. If anybody ever asked me to sing, I only had one song. So unless you wanted that really slow song, you better not have asked for that song, because it was the only song you were going to get. But it was a song that I heard somebody else sing when I was a kid. And it spoke to me. But I now have more than one song, because God has used music to grow my ministry. And I have not sat in the same church and sang the same song. I asked the Lord, Lord, if you're willing to send me, I'll go. And I was trying to count it the other day of how many appointments since we have really been committed to going, how many places that we've been. And I thought, Lord, what an awesome impact that you have let us have in other people's lives. But you see, it doesn't stop at the song. One day, my heart began to burn with a word. Not with a verse, not with a chorus, not with the bridge. Began to burn with the word. And all of a sudden, there was something rise up inside of me. I didn't even know what to do with it. And I just simply say, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I need to tell somebody, you need to hold on, because God's moving. Didn't even know what it really meant, what it was actually representing. I didn't understand prophecy yet. I just felt a burning desire in my heart to do something. And now I look back at all of this and I see where I was with song number one and where I'm standing today in my ministry. When you look at the course of someone's life and you can't easily identify progress, then chances are there's not been much. But you see, progress to me is not measured by quantity. It's by quality. And you see, every time that you have an opportunity to come to the house of God, it's not just quantity. It's not just being an attendance marker. It's not just being a dollar in the offering plate. It's about spending quality time with God. That shows progress. I wish that sometimes when I'm weary that I could go back to the person that didn't have to do anything. But then guess what? My phone's ringing. Brother, please pray for me. Text messages are coming in telling me of bad things that have happened. Please pray for them. There are people that tell me all the time they enjoy either CDs or the radio broadcast or the videos on the internet. People are enjoying the work of progress. I can't go back to doing nothing. Yeah, I might get tired from time to time. I might get weary from driving around, investing my time. But you find that if he could come out of a well and preach people to be saved, then surely I can come to church in my air-conditioned vehicle with airbags and comfy seats and nice radio to come in and have quality time with God. You see, the world wants us to transform to quantity. Well, if I just show up, then I'm doing something. Well, if our church has 10,000 people, then we're doing something. I read a very captivating article by a man who is the pastor of one of the 10 fastest growing megachurches in America. And he shared this intimate time he had with God. And you know what the Lord showed him? That instead of building up his church with people, that he wanted to break the church apart to spread the ministry abroad. And the minister in this article began to identify with, well, I wanted people to do this at my church so that I could say that I was a part of a great move of God. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke back to him and told him, if I could save the nation, would it have to be your church? If I could deliver your children, would it have to come from your pulpit? And I began to read that, and it was like, God, you're transforming something in me. You're helping me realize that Christianity is more than a pulpit, more than a worship song, more than a website. It's a lifestyle. It is what you're doing every day that shows God that you mean business about getting where you're going. I don't ever like to brag about anything that God does for me, but I'm not ashamed to do it either. There's been some times that I have struggled to do everything that I've been asked to do in my workplace. And in the most, and I mean my wife can testify to this, in the most unlikely times, I'll get a raise. In the most unlikely circumstances, new opportunities open up for me that allows me to be more blessed financially. I'm not doing anything any better than anybody else other than just my job the best I can and keeping my mouth shut to not cause problems. I'm trying to just be righteous in the workplace and be kind to other people and be a team player. And guess what? That's only half the battle. When I come to church and take all the goodness that God's given me and actually apply it to something, then he's able to pour more into me because I am taking out what he's given me to give to other people. I've been challenging our church here, Brother Donnie, to start praying and seeking the Lord about ideals of things we can do to make a difference. And we're going to be gathering these ideals, praying over them, and starting to seek God's direction. And it was a powerful word. And some of the things that I began to pray about and seek the Lord for, I have two or three really meaningful ideals that doesn't require a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of time, but can make the world of difference. But profession is only saying we're going to do it. Progression is actually doing it. I remember when we first started building this church. I remember the foundations being laid when there was nothing to look at, not a single piece of wood purchased. And you couldn't keep the people away of everybody that ever wanted to come and help somebody. I mean, you had to fight them off just for something. Because what? It becomes harder. Can I read another scripture to you? Let me read this tonight. The middle part of this verse. Ought himself also so to walk. Let me read this that God gave me. At this stage, Satan comes to take your time, energy, and willingness so that you lose all desire to continue and obey or taking action for the glory of the kingdom of God. People in this stage are rebuking possible infestation and vexation and growing their faith in their actions and profession. You'll know that you're in the middle of progression
when all of a sudden you're so busy, you don't hardly have time to pray. It goes from having all the time in the world to get down, but being too busy to even get down and say 10 words to God. It goes from having all the time in the world to be bored at work to not even have time to go to the bathroom. Has anybody had a work shift like that before? Didn't even get to go in. I was literally booked all day from 8 to 5, sitting in conference room to conference room in meetings. And there's one thing I dread more than anything else in the business world, and that's meetings. Because you got to sit with a bunch of people that only talk about doing something and never have anything to do. But then they give all the work in the world to somebody that comes to the meetings, and that poor schmuck has got to go take care of all the business, enter my body, enter my willingness and efforts to do something. I don't know if you ever recognize vexation, but what I like to refer to vexation as is a random attempt or temptation of Satan. Have you ever been perfectly fine and all of a sudden your anger is to the roof? Chances are, you were obeying God and trying to do something good. Satan comes to put a vex on you. When you were in sin, you were possessed in need of deliverance. When you were delivered, you entered to profession and were loosed from the chains. But that devil's coming to beat you up with those chains. You better believe it. He'll come to test your anger to see if you've really changed how you talk. He'll put more on you than you can handle and try to vex you into losing your desire. Because if you lose your desire, guess what? You begin to fade spiritually. And that's what breaks my heart. Oh, Diva, I love coming and worshiping God, and I fight and strive with all that's in me to stay in a good place with Him. But I see so many that come in that as the glory of God and His Spirit begins to move, they literally have no desire for anything because they have been so vexed, so beaten up, so messed with, so bullied all week long that they've not even had a moment's chance to breathe. I love to worship, but I'm not worshiping just for me. You see, I am trying to release an anointing out of my spirit that you would receive something good out of my voice, out of my efforts. And when we come to His house, and you might not think that doing, when you obey Him in an effort, you're causing spirits that are vexing other people to be moved. The Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against the flesh we throw on our back. We're the only one that's fighting that. Don't think that when we have a quarrel with one another, that it's that brother's fault that you're upset. You're the only one that's upset. You just happen to be using them as the reason. Oh, nobody wants to talk to me tonight, do they? Oh, it's their fault. I can't serve God if they just be quiet and hush and get out of the way. I could do what I need to do. That's fine. But guess what? We've got a bunch of churches with people that have been hurt and offended and went to other churches. And people that went to other churches, and people can't find a pastor because every time they find a pastor, they run them off because they don't do what they like for them to. Yeah. And every time they get a worship leader, they don't sing the songs out of the hymnal that they like, so they run off the worship leader. And then we get tithers in the church to bless other people, and then people start pushing on tithers to give to this, give to that, to give even when they shouldn't be given, and run them off too. Yeah. I've done enough running off in my life. I've seen enough religion win. You see, God is beginning to start a revolution. I don't know if you see it like this, but we're nearing the end of days. And as we near the end of days, He's causing a transformation to happen in the people of God. That those that would normally be appeased with Snapchat or Facebook or all these other realms of social media and popularity, He's beginning to draw me even further away from the traditional conventions of the world. Why? Because it'll destroy you. Somebody say amen, oh me, or go home, one of the three. It'll destroy you. You better know what you're looking at, know who you're talking to, and know those who labor among you. Because you might look back one day and see where it all went wrong. Amen? Oh, I'm getting pumped up now. Well, brother, you've preached too long. Holy Ghost has been preaching. Let's read this last part of the verse. It's an easy phrase. Even as he walked. At this stage, Satan begins to attack all that is important to you. Family, friends, jobs, possessions, and everything else that's important. People in this stage are beginning to exercise, with an O, exercise, their flesh, and starting to find balance in life, hope, and happiness with their devotion to God. When you read the word, even as he walked, it's talking about Jesus Christ, or to walk in perfection. The Bible says we are to strive for perfection. And to have the mind of Christ is to be perfect-minded or mature. So wait, you're telling me, brother, I've got to get from just talking the talk, from walking the walk, and then walking it well? Don't just walk the walk. Walk it awesomely. Don't just come in and praise him. Praise him wonderfully. Don't just love your family. Love them amazingly. Don't just do stuff because you got to. Do stuff because you want to. Don't just go the extra mile to get the pat on the back. Go the extra mile and not care if nobody even knows that it was you. It's out of these selfless acts we find the miracles of God transpiring. Think about this. As they were sitting on the ship with Jesus asleep in the boat, the tempest was roaring and raging, and they began to be afraid. Yet they had within themselves all that they needed to put the winds to be still. But out of their fear, they reached to Jesus. And let me tell you, it's perfectly okay to wake him up in the boat, theoretically. But what did he question about them when the storm was over? Where's your faith? Because he called a disciple out on the waters. Think about that. Have you ever been out on the lake and thought to yourself, maybe I'll just try it? And you go to put your foot in the water and you just don't make it. Maybe you should go, maybe not right now. It's getting kind of cold in the water. But can you just imagine in that moment having that much faith in seeing the Son of God ahead of you to step out of a boat and not sink? Now, I'm not telling you to go out of here and walk on the water. Guess what I am telling you to do? To step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. We had more than enough in here to have an